All right, we will call the meeting of the Agriculture, Rural Economies, and Veterans Affairs Finance Committee to order. And we will wait a few minutes to do the minutes till we get a quorum. What we're going to do is start right into it. Today, members, we are looking at, and guests, we're going through our veterans' homes budgets. And as you're aware, or as you will be aware, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of those around the state at this point in time. And we're also going to get those that are from outstate up first in case for some reason we run long, but I suspect we can get through this in this period of time. But we want to make sure we respect their travels in. So we'll hear from all the executive directors. We'll look at their budgets. But to begin with, we're also going to try and get a little understanding for this committee. And again, remember, this is the first budget year that we've had the homes. They were a standalone board until a governor's executive order moved them into the Department of Veterans Affairs. So now we are overseeing their budgets again and have those discussions for the first time. So we're going to hear from the deputy commissioner on exactly what these homes do, how they're funded. We know that not only veterans benefits, but also state dollars, federal dollars, others, there's pieces that go into funding these, and it's not as simple as some might think. So that's why we have you, and that's why you get the big check, is to explain that to us. So maybe not big enough, huh? Anyway, some days. Welcome to the committee. We'll let you introduce yourself, and we'll proceed. Oh, one other thing. We also have, members have a copy of the strategic plan. Very nice plan. We will keep those in your folders, and we'll be working from them during the year. Again, like I say, what impressed me about the plan is on page 14, I mean, they really break down all the services they do and talk about them, and that's kind of the same way we're going to be looking at their budgets, is all these different categoricals that they do, and are they funded properly? Do they need more money, less money, more resources, different resources, whatever it is. So I think it's a very good overview. I commend the department for putting this together. Having a five-year plan really helps the legislature as we plan with you for the future. So thank you for that. Now, introduce yourself and proceed in any way you see fit.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Gilbert Acevedo, Deputy Commissioner for Veterans Health Care. With me, I have Sherry Cromshoulder, our business manager, our finance officer, excuse me, for the department. Thank you for the comments about the strategic plan. We took a lot of time and effort to put that together. Each home is also developing their own strategic plan that will complement the strategic plan for the department. With the homes, they're a little different. We try to look at about a 2 to 3 year strategic plan because healthcare changes at such a rapid pace that we want to stay on top of things as it changes. Today, we're here to present the veterans' homes to you. We're very fortunate and lucky to have our administrators and business managers from each home here today to present a team of professionals, and I think you will be duly impressed with the presentations and the overview of each home. The chair and the committee has asked me to address certain questions in particular, 4 to 5 questions. I'll start off with those questions, and then the crown shoulder will then start talking about some of our financial portions of the central office for the home. On our first slide, it just the first question was how do veterans pay for their nursing home care? The veterans homes operate and are funded through 3 sources. We receive a general fund appropriation from the legislature. We also receive Veterans Administration per diem. The per diem is identified per resident. A veteran has to certify for that particular per diem for a level of care. So whether it's domiciliary care or skilled nursing care, the amount that the VA will pay for that veteran's care is will vary. It's different based on the level of care. And we also have our maintenance, resident maintenance, which is private pay. This is where the veteran pays for their care through a cost of care calculation based on what they can and afford to pay. Each home will talk a little bit about their pay structures and talk about a little bit of their finances as we go along as well.
Representative Welty has a question. We'll ask questions as we go through, if you don't mind.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Acevedo. Just quickly, I just want clarification. The Veterans Administration per diem, that is federal, correct?
Or is that Chair, state? Representative, yes, it is.
It's federal.
It is federal.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And are you going to, let's see here. And we've gone in. Maybe this is a good time to ask you approximately what percent of veterans' care is paid for by the state? What percent is our appropriation compared to the rest, approximately? And that's the question. Some of the questions that are asked is how much does the state commit to the veterans' home versus the private pay, the insurance, and the veterans' per diem pieces? And I mean, is it a 50-50, or do we put in 30%, 70%, et cetera? And then secondly, I think a question we're all asked all the time is, and it comes up, is can other nursing homes take the veterans' per diem checks?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, to answer the first question, on slide 14 of the presentation, we have a breakdown of the veterans' homes revenue by all funds, and in the presentation it shows under revenue by category, and it has our revenue for 08-09 as an example. The general fund pays approximately 57.3%. The VA per diem is about 19.7%. Resident pays about 19.3%. And then we have other revenues in there that you can see on that.
So we'll be getting to it. There's a slide on it. How about the second question?
The second question, the VA per diem is strictly an agreement between the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and state veterans' homes. So a nursing home in the community would not be entitled to that VA per diem. So it is strictly a memorandum of understanding between the state veterans' homes and the United States Department of Veterans Affairs. The next question has to do with federal VA and contracted nursing homes. I understood the question to be a voucher system, and this is where a veteran can receive their nursing home care at a nursing home in the community, and the VA will pay for those that type of care. The federal VA, United States Department of Veterans Affairs, and that's interchangeable, United States Department of Veterans Affairs, and the federal VA, I'll say that interchangeably throughout this presentation. Community nursing homes are contracted by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs based on a need and location. So depending on a veteran that will come in to the VA administration, they'll go through their admission process. The admission process will determine eligibility for a type of care, and if that care can be paid for or placed in the community, the VA has contracts with various community nursing homes that they can do that with.
You just said that we don't take the per diems, but they do contract, and their federal dollars paid for them to be, because almost all of us have we all have nursing homes in our district, and we have heard from some, you know, when I hear from some communities at times when there's a veterans, when a community comes forward proposing a veterans facility, that the the nursing home folks are going to go, wait a minute, we contract and we take veterans, why aren't we just taking them, and why are you proposing a home, et cetera, et cetera. So is that, how many of those homes would be throughout Minnesota? Do you suspect lots of them, or is it just here and there or the other? Or
there are, that's a federal VA contract. It's spread out throughout the state. Exact numbers, I don't know. I can get back.
Could you get us a list, or someone in your department get us a list of all the homes that take veterans across the state? I think that would be helpful information for this committee to have.
For Mr. Chair, just for clarification, veterans, state nursing homes in the state that take veterans under the VA contract.
Right.
Okay.
That's what we'd like to see. Representative Paul, send this one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is right along that line, is who makes that decision? It says here that community nursing homes are contracted based on need and location. Who determines that? Is this at the request of the veteran? He says, I want to stay close to home where my kids are, but you don't have anything around there. Does he get to pick, or does he or she go wherever the USDVA decides?
Mr. Chair, Representative Fouts, that's a determination by the admissions department. They have a committee that they determine eligibility for veterans and location based on need. There might be a veteran, a nursing home close to that veteran's home of record. Then again, there may not be, and there might be something close, but not exactly in that area. A determination is made by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs, the Admissions Department, which is a interdisciplinary team, meaning that different people look at this, social workers, doctors, nurses, and determining the need and location.
Okay. And we'll get that list out to members. Representative Welty.
Thank you, Chair Junkie. And Mr. Acevedo, then can you tell me, where is that team located? Is there a team in Minnesota? Is it regional? Is it in Washington? Just for our information.
Mr. Chair, Representative Welty, the admission group or that admission team, the admission department, is at the VA hospital in Minnesota. So, as an example, the Minneapolis hospital has an admission team that will look at this and make a determination. St. Cloud would have a similar situation. Fargo would have a similar situation there as well.
Okay.
The United States Department of Veterans Affairs works directly with the local nursing homes to establish contact, the contract and the rates. So to determine how much the VA will pay for that care for that particular veteran is negotiated between the VA and that nursing home that they're working the contract through. The Veterans Hospital Department's Admissions Department will meet weekly to determine the type and level of care for eligible veterans. And then the County Veterans Service Officer should always be the first stop to understand the benefits that the veterans are entitled to them. So if you have a veteran in your community that may need nursing home and the family would like to place him closer to home, they would work with the County Veterans Service Officer first and work through the VA system to determine that. There are several eligibility requirements that the VA and the County Veterans Service Officers will work through to determine that. Next question was other options, the state veterans homes, other options to state veterans homes in the state of Minnesota. Before I go into this, the Millennium Act, Healthcare Benefit Act, H.R. 2116 really drives this particular question. The United States Department of Veterans Affairs has been given the opportunity to provide other types of care other to a nursing home. So it doesn't necessarily have to be nursing home care, and I'll cover those here in a second. But under the health care enhancement in H.R. 2116, improved access to long-term care for severely disabled veterans was one of the intents behind the bill. The VA's duty to provide alternatives to nursing home care are expanded. The VA would be authorized to pay reasonable emergency care costs for veterans obtaining their principal health care from the VA. The improved specialized mental health services for veterans authorized the VA to offer health care to TRICARE eligible, those are retirees that fall under TRICARE, and Purple Heart recipients who otherwise would not qualify for VA care, and allow the VA greater flexibility in how to generate new income and how it can be spent to enhance veterans care. So some of the options that the VA has available, and here in Minnesota, is home-based primary care. This is an interdisciplinary team approach, and the veteran must live within 35 to 40 miles of a VA. The care will be provided at their home. A team would go out and provide care to that veteran at their home. The next one is actually fee-based, not free-based, but fee-based home care. And this is the same similar situation, but if it exceeds that 35 to 40 miles, the VA has the ability also to contract with local home care agencies to provide the care to those eligible veterans as well. And then medical foster care. Medical foster care is an alternative to nursing home care. Relatively new in the VA system. There are 39 states right now that are working with this in particular. No more than 3 residents in a foster home. And this is where a home would qualify and certify as a foster home. And bring in a veteran. It doesn't say that it's a aged veteran. It's a veteran that might need care so that the family may not be able to provide the care for them at home, or they are looking for an alternative to a nursing home setting. So it's a closer net type of a situation where you have probably 2 to 3 veterans in that foster home as well.
And I think on those second 2 points is something that we certainly want to learn more about as we move forward in our efforts along with you and the governor to make sure that veterans care is available in every county in the state. You know, as you look at that first point, you had to be within 35 or 40 miles of a VA hospital. Well, we don't want that anymore. We want a veteran in our counties, no matter where you are, to be able to receive care and home care or foster care. I think that's a very interesting concept and fits very well with what you're trying to do in the department now. So we're curious to see how we can help foster that along in the future, too.
Mr. Chair, and thank you. I kind of suspected that the committee would be interested in that particular area, so I've already made contact with the VA, and I'm going to work with them to see if at some point we can have the experts come in and testify before the committee and be able to give you firsthand some of the success stories that they're experiencing with it. I also have additional literature that I will leave for the chair and the committee so that it talks about this particular program.
Representative Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is if you have an idea what the difference in costs are on each of these different bullet points that we've got here. And I don't need it today, but if you could send that to us, I'd sure appreciate that. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Representative Falk, I will get the information on the cost and provide that. The next is respite care. This is where a family member just is taking care of the loved one at home. They may need some time to take care of maybe some personal items, to take some time to spend with the kids or just need a break from the care. And this is available to veterans as well. 30 days for a year. The first 20 days is paid for by the VA. Days 21 through 30 is based on financial needs. And so in that case, there is a determination by the VA through a means test determining how much they can afford to pay for those types of services as well. Home health aid, homemaker, is a program where the veteran may have 2 or more activity of daily living issues that maybe they need assistance with making a bed or possibly feeding and or have some cognitive deficit and may need someone to come in and just do household chores, cleaning the house, making a bed, doing the laundry, those types of things. And in this particular case, I do have an amount that is $15 per day per veteran. And then home telehealth, this has been around for a little bit, a very successful program that the VA has. This is where the VA will provide equipment so that a veteran at their home that may have either diabetic type issues, wound care issues, or different types of things that they don't have to take that long trip all the way to the VA hospital. They can conduct, they can hook up to a machine, do the vital signs, or do the pictures, and that'll be transmitted back to the VA on wound care, those type of things, so that way they don't have to come back into a VA hospital per se for a 5-minute check. And this is a very successful program that the VA has available as well. Along with that, that is not on your slide, but it's tied closely with that, is telemedicine. Telemedicine at the community-based outpatient clinic works really well, where they have telemedicine. They have a big TV with cameras, and the veteran can go there. It's right now predominantly for mental health, where a veteran doesn't have to travel all the way down to a VA hospital. They can go to a community-based outpatient clinic. They'll sit there on a screen and talk to their counselor one-on-one, and so they don't have to make that long trip out of their community. The next slide talks about the adult day health or adult day program. It's limited numbers for veterans at this point. The VA also refers to community adult day program as well. And as a note on that, Part of our strategic plan is looking at different alternative care that we are looking to provide our veterans in the state of Minnesota. We're looking at not only adult day health, but assisted living and various other home care type programs that we can maybe partner with the VA or take the initiative as a state and provide that care to our veterans. And then hospice and palliative care, inpatient or outpatient. This is where inpatient could be either at the VA hospital or at a contracted nursing home, or it could be done at a contracted nursing home or possibly at the residence, the home of that particular veteran. It'll be the same type of benefits that Medicare would provide for at the home or at a community-based nursing home. The difference between hospice and palliative type care, hospice is end-of-life type care that the VA will provide. Palliative care will be making the person more comfortable and looking at alternative type ways to assist, and it might be looking at alternative type medicine as well. I'm going to briefly mention the repair and betterment, and each home will be talking about the repair and betterment and each list of projects that they have on their repair and betterment. But what I wanted to highlight here is that on our strategic plan under the Veterans Homes Programs Goals and Objectives, 3C, the Veterans Homes Administrators will develop a project management system to streamline the use of program funding based on Veterans Home Priority by 1 July 2009. This is where we're going to look at not only our R&D, repair and betterment, but also asset preservation and those types of things, and establish a priority listing within our department to identify those projects. And then, as I mentioned, each home will provide a list of those particular projects. Mr. Chair,
just to that point, where this committee's concern lies is to really try and draw a line on what is a cash request and why it is, and what might be a bonding request and why that is, because we know that we did a lot of health and safety improvements last year and other bonding requests, and now we're seeing a cash request for repair and betterment, and we need to understand going into the future what that difference is and why one's on one list or the other, or if they can be transposed.
Yes, Mr. Chair. What I'd like to do is I'll turn over the presentation to Ms. Sherry Kromschilder and have her go through very quickly our central office numbers as far as budget, and then we can go into the presentation of each home.
Welcome, Ms. Kromschilder.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jerry Kromschilder. I'm the financial officer for the Department of Veterans Affairs. I'm just going to briefly go over the homes budget as a whole so you have an idea of the portion of the pie each home is responsible for. So the first slide shows our all funds for fiscal year 8 and 9, and then for comparison next to it is fiscal year 10 and 11. You can see the homes admin in fiscal year 8 and 9 is approximately 2.7% of our total expenditure activity. Fergus Falls, 11%, Laverne, 11.1%, Silver Bay, 11.2%, Hastings, 12.3%, and Minneapolis, 51.8%. And for comparison to 10 and 11, you can see those percentages are fairly consistent. The next slide is a comparison of our department's revenues in the homes program. And again, you can see the comparison between fiscal years 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 by category. Our total general fund for fiscal year 8 and 9 is approximately 53.7%. The federal VA per diem reimbursements at 19.7% of our total budget. The resident pay, 19.3%. Lease, 0.6%, resident trust, which is approximately 2.4%, and donations at less than 1%. The next slide is just another view of our revenues, breaking it down a little further so you can see the different categories under our general fund. We have a direct operating appropriation. That appropriation is dispersed between the various veterans homes and the central office. We received a one-time strategic planning funding in fiscal year 9 of $200,000. The repairs and betterment for the biennium of 8 and 9 was approximately 6.5. And going forward into fiscal year 10 and 11, we are seeking a $2.5 million increase. So for our total general fund for fiscal year 09, $45,106,000. And then just below that is a chart of our non-general fund categories, and that is where we break out our federal VA by skilled nursing care and domiciliary, as well as our private pay for skilled nursing care and domiciliary.
I'm going to ask a question I should have asked the last slide, and you don't have to provide an answer today, but have you, other than if you have or not, have you ever looked at the cost, the state's general fund cost per patient at a veteran's home at various income levels versus a contracted home in the city versus just a regular patient if you would just enter a non-contracted home as a resident patient. Curiosity always comes up, you know, are the veterans homes a good deal or not so good deal, or, you know, are we paying more or less for that patient there than we would in another facility down the street? And I don't know if you've had those numbers or done that exercise, but it'd be a very interesting one, I think, again, as we debate whether we should add homes, and we have a study going on, by the way, members, that should be back May 1st on areas of the state that perhaps could be served by a home where our gaps are. But one of the debates we always have, of course, is it economical to build a home, at least for the state dollars?
We can look at that. We have not conducted that study to take a look at that. I want to make sure that we compare the exact same type of services. So we want to make sure that if it's the same type of services that we're providing, that home in the community is providing the same, so we have true numbers.
And I think there's different levels of income, obviously, that would qualify you for more or less government pay when you're in a community home also. So we want to look at those different levels. But a to-do list in the next few months, if someone can think about that.
Okay, I'll move on then to slide 16.
Representative Faust has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to make sure that I understand this correctly on the previous slide. Approximately 61%, and the numbers are pretty small, I can't read them very good, is from the state general fund, and 20-something percent is coming from the per diem. Is that correct? And would that lead me to believe that the state is providing $2 for every one the federal government is providing? Is that a fair assessment of what that slide is telling us?
I think it's 57%, isn't it?
Mr. Chair, Representative, it is 57%.
Yeah.
I have the big slide here.
But you can go ahead and answer them. So, you know, basically we're...
Yes, that is a fair statement.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to slide 16, a summary of our homes administration. We have a total of 14.5 FTEs. A total operating budget in fiscal year 8-9 was $3.983 million, and that does not include the $200,000 one-time for strategic planning. The office is made up of six full-time equivalents, the FTEs, under the commissioner's office. Our financial management, 1.5 FTEs. Under each category, I do list out the shared positions for you. I won't go through them all individually. Our human resources, 0.5 FTEs. Public affairs and communications, 1.5 FTEs. Legislative affairs, 1 FTE. Information technology, 4 FTEs. Strategic planning, no FTEs tied to that funding. The next slide shows a depiction of our total compensation as compared to our total other operating for each biennium, the current biennium, and then our projected 10 and 11 biennium. The next page is a summary of the spreadsheet. That is your last page, but I thought I would put it into a slide so you could see the comparison of expenditures between fiscal year 7 and fiscal year 11 by the various expenditure object class codes. And that brings us to our change items. And I believe Ms. Keel had presented on our change items previously, and I'm not sure at this time if you'd like me to go through those again.
If you want to just briefly.
Okay. The first item is our information technology change item. That actually, the funding is tied to our programs and services. However, it will impact the homes as well. What that will do is allow us to hire additional staff, enable to allow the department to implement a data mart and repository, develop an active directory help desk, become compliant with the governor's mandate for electronic health records, develop a security analyzing program, become fully insurance portability, or become fully health insurance portability and accountability act, or HIPAA, compliant, develop a disaster recovery plan, and supply ongoing field support inclusive of residential facilities, outreach workers, our tribal veteran service offices, or officers, and benefits claims and campus representatives.
If you could, before we put our budget out, just give us, you're asking for $980,000 each year. If you could just put a number by each of those bullet points, you know, what's the cost of the IT staff versus what's the cost of the electronic health records piece, and as best you can. I'm sure you've done that. You've got to the number somehow. And so if you can do that for us again over the next month or so, that would be helpful.
Yes, Mr. Chair. And also, I should point out, and I should have pointed out at the beginning of the presentation, these the change items and the homes presentation refer to the budget pages, page 27 through 29, and then also our change items are on page 7 through 12. And part of that IT change item is a table that depicts the breakout of how that IT funds will be spent.
So you're saying you're ahead of me. You're way ahead of me. Is that what you're telling me? That's a good thing. That's okay. All right.
Okay, the next change item is our Hastings Mental Health. And I won't go into great detail on this one. The Hastings Veterans Home is here, and they will be discussing that.
Very good. You can skip on to that.
And the Repair and Betterment, I believe Deputy Commissioner Acevedo had touched on that.
Yep, and we'll be getting a list of those, a little further list.
And then our last item is maintaining our current service levels. And that is an increase to the Veterans Home appropriation for increased costs due to nursing care, compensation, fuel, utilities, pharmaceuticals, and food.
And again, if we can get, maybe you've got it here, I don't know, I haven't looked. In the budget, is that in the budget book too, or do we have a, have we assigned how much is going to nursing care, compensation, et cetera, and the percent increase on those?
Mr. Chair, that will not be in your budget pages, but I do have a spreadsheet.
Okay, if you would get us that, we'll get that to the committee members, as well as if you can provide, maybe you already did, I don't know if we have a copy of this electronically, but if you could provide that, and then anyone that wants to print out larger, colorful things in their office to read in the future will have. So if you could get us this presentation electronically, that would be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And
our
staff will get that out to everyone, right? All right.
Chair, that concludes our portion of the presentation. Thank you very much for the opportunity to present.
Questions? Representative Fowler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is very similar to the question that you asked before, and hopefully these numbers will come to us. The contract beds that you have, do you have an idea what those cost on a per-bed basis per day compared to the Minneapolis nursing home or any of the other nursing homes? And what I've, what's been indicated to me in the past is that that is a much cheaper option. And so is this something that we should consider going out into our communities and rent, you know, a whole floor or a whole wing of the private nursing homes that are currently, in many cases, half empty? You know, wouldn't this be a much more efficient way to do it? The reason that I've been told that veterans want to be in the veterans' home is because of the camaraderie that they have with the other veterans. But if we would go to some of these communities where they have 50 or 60 beds in one wing, that they could free up the whole wing for us, so we would have that same advantage and yet a lower cost. Wouldn't in the long run that be much more economical thing for us to do than to spend millions of dollars on a new home someplace?
Mr. Acevedo.
Mr. Chair. Mr. Representative Faust, I want to make a clarification first. The contracted nursing homes are not part of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. It's part of the United States Department of Veterans Affairs. The exact cost is negotiated between that nursing home and the United States Department of Veterans Affairs. So I don't have the per patient day cost. It would not be available to me. I can certainly research that information. And on the second note, I've heard this several times that nursing home and community can operate it at a lower cost. I, again, would like to compare that to make sure that we're comparing apples to apples versus apples to oranges. And then, you know, veterans homes across the nation is a benefit that the veterans are entitled to based on their service. They've given of their time and sacrifice things that we cannot provide or give back. And this is just one of the many benefits that they're entitled to. Veterans come to veterans' homes because the camaraderie, that's just part of it. But spending time and looking at the veteran service organizations and the volunteerism that they do at the veterans' homes and the many benefits that we provide to our veterans, our nation's heroes, I feel that it's a benefit and it's an entitlement to them.
Representative Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I don't disagree with you at all, and I understand that, and my whole point is that can't we duplicate that in, you know, a nursing home that has 50 empty beds in it, you know, a wing or a floor of one, bring in some people from the State Department that, you know, maybe they have an office there and they do some of the activities that currently happen at the Veterans Affairs or at the Veterans Hospitals, the state nursing homes that are not happening at the private nursing homes, you know, as far as some of the activities where they're going out in the community and some of these things. I mean, you know, there's a lot of reasons other than just the camaraderie, I'll give you that, but can't we duplicate some of those things in Cambridge or in Mora just as well as we can by adding another building in Minneapolis?
So, and I'd follow up too, that's a good question. Is there some partnerships we could develop? Again, as we look at getting this report back and understanding where we have gaps maybe in veterans homes coverage, and as Representative Faust said, if we have you know, a standard care nursing home that's got 30 empty beds in it in a remote part of the state, wouldn't that be a good partnership rather than bricks and mortar being built by us to partner and bring those services together out there along the VA and the private, you know, probably mainly the VA would even be run similar, but I think he's kind of hit on something that's worth thinking through.
Mr. Chair, absolutely. I am one to look at alternatives and options to our veterans. And one of the items of discussion there is that I am trying to get out and get to become more familiar with community and our peers in the nursing home industry and the long-term care industry. So there are many different options out there. I will point out that our waiting list is not a mistake. The waiting list that we have at our veterans' homes are there because veterans want to come to the veterans' home, and they want to seek that type of service that we are providing. But absolutely, I will look at all options and alternatives. Anything. I will never turn away an opportunity to talk to someone as long as the outcome is that we take care of our veterans.
To that point, Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Faust, as well, for bringing that up. Because there's nursing homes that are sitting empty out in rural Minnesota right now. The complete home has shut down, so definitely something to look into. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I agree, and I appreciate the comments. I just wanted to make sure that when we look at this, that we're looking at when we make statements or statements are made that it's cheaper to run a home in the community versus a veteran's home, that we are looking at the comparison.
Well, again, from our standpoint, the question I asked you earlier on what's the state commitment at a veteran's home versus a non-veteran, a community-based home, I think if we can show that there is some advantages, we're going to have a lot easier time promoting veterans, additional veterans' beds in the state in the future. So your homework will be important on that. Representative Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm interested in the change item for increased costs covering pharmaceuticals. Do we bargain, negotiate pharmaceutical prices? And could you just talk a little bit about how much the cost of those has increased?
Mr. Chair, Representative Dowdy, each home will talk a little bit about the pharmaceutical costs. So I won't go into too much detail with each home. On the most part, when we negotiate and we work with our sharing agreement or contract with the VA, we are able to purchase our medications through the Federal Register, which is a lower rate than you can get just about anywhere else. But with that, there's still an increase on an annual basis. And not all our homes are purchasing from the Federal Register. Some of our homes are actually contracting out, and I'll let each home discuss that individually because you'll get a better appreciation when they talk about the numbers.
Okay. All right, we should probably get the homes going here before we run out of time. Oh, wait a minute. Representative Eakin. And Otremba. Oh, my. We have lots of questions. I'm not paying attention.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my question deals with, I guess, how far out you look into the future as far as changing demographics and, of course, the aging of the population. And I don't know, as far as the veteran community, if that's growing even faster based on, you know, the number of people who are, you know, have been involved in military service. And because I know there's a growing need out there, and while there's some nursing homes that are partially empty today, I think that it won't be long before they're going to be filling up. And if you're accounting for that with some of the proposals that you're making here.
Mr. Acevedo.
Mr. Chair, Representative Eakin, with the fortunate luck that we have last year, the two studies that have been commissioned by this committee, to have us go out and look at the demographics and look at the future of care in the state, we're going to get those numbers, and those numbers are going to go out pretty recent as information today and reaching out into the future. So those numbers will come to us sometime in May. And as far as our strategic plan, we're going to tap into that demographic study and the studies that were conducted as part of that and looking at the different types of care. So we're not just looking at the demographics, but we're looking at what is the care in the future as well for these veterans.
Okay.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. And if you could provide that information for the committee, that would be very helpful, too, as far as changing demographics. And I'm just curious if it's going to track with the general population or if the needs are increasing even faster in that population. I don't know if you have that information available now.
Mr. Acevedo.
Mr. Chair, Representative Eakin, I do not have that information at this point. I would actually like to wait until we get our study that's being conducted at present, because I think that's going to reveal a lot of really good information for us for the future.
Before I go to Representative Otremba, I want to point out I think we have some pages that joined us in the room. They're here for the week. For those who don't know, we have a page program, and they get to see all three branches of government. They'll be working on the House floor. They do some committee stuff, and I want to welcome you. What we're talking about today in this committee, we oversee the Veterans Affairs finances of the state along with agriculture, but today it's Veterans Affairs. We have five veterans homes in the state located at different corners of the state, and we have to understand their budgets and how we're going to fund them in the future. So we're hearing from the homes today and looking at their budgets. So welcome. Representative Otremba.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm asking about the adult aged care, and you said that it was limited numbers. Do you know what the numbers are?
Mr. Acevedo.
Mr. Chair, Representative Otremba, the number right now for the Minneapolis hospital is about 80 veterans, but they also contract out to other adult day health programs. So that adult daycare that they have will take care of those 80 veterans, but they also have they contract out so that other veterans throughout the state of Minnesota can also be served by adult day as well.
Can you get us a list of those locations, too? We're just real curious to know what's going on in our counties or our cities with contracts from veterans. You know, someone in Long Prairie is doing that, or Wilmer or Mora. It'd be kind of interesting to know for this committee. If you can access where those services are being contracted for, it'd be helpful, too.
Mr. Chair, I will.
And Representative Otremba.
Mr. Chair, and I think it's becoming very popular. You know, this is the sandwich and generation, and I think we're going to need a lot more adult daycare. So I would really like to know where they are and where they maybe can be.
Mr. Chair, Representative Otremba, I will get that information and get it back to the committee.
Good. Representative Falk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just was looking ahead at the Laverne home, and it just said it had a waiting list of 56 people. Is there a list or a number for how many people are actively on waiting lists statewide looking to get into the homes?
And I think we're going to see that with each group that comes up, but go ahead.
Mr. Chair, Representative Paul, we can provide that information as well. Each home will give you a list of their waiting lists, and they'll give a description of what a waiting list is, either an active or an inactive waiting list, but we can provide that information.
Okay. All right. Let's move on.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Looks like we got Laverne, huh? And again, like the others, we'll provide members with these slideshows too. It's nice to have them printed, but they are a little small, so we can put them on the computer, so we'll make sure the homes get them. Welcome. We've got Laverne up. I want to, first of all, I apologize because Laverne is the only home I have not personally visited with bonding committees or other stops, but I know Magnus and maybe Hamilton and others have covered that very well for us. I know Tremba has been there. Who else has been to the Laverne home? That's it. All right. So we need to get down there and tour your campus, and I'm looking forward to doing that. But welcome. Introduce yourselves and proceed any way you see fit.
Mr. Chair, I hope you're able to rectify that oversight on your part in a hurry.
We will.
For the record, I'm Michael Bonds. I'm the administrator of the Laverne Veterans Home, and I'm accompanied by my business manager.
And I'm Ann Steginger. I'm the Laverne Veterans Home as well.
Very good. Welcome.
I started the slide just for an overview of the Minnesota Veterans Home. In the background, you see the Blue Mountain State Park. In the foreground, you see the facility itself. You're looking at bricks and mortar here. And as we talk about budget, it's incumbent upon us not to lose sight of the fact that we're really talking about our residents. So I'm going to give you just a brief demographic overview of what one of our residents looks like. Our residents are 87% male. That is a difference from a normal community nursing home where they're going to be about 75% female. 88% of our residents are veterans. 45% of those people are World War II veterans. 50% of them serve in the Army. In our facility, they range in age from 58 to 94. Our average age is 81. And our resident was probably a farmer. That's going to vary among areas of the state. 50% of our residents were admitted directly from their home or from their apartment. And once again, that varies strongly from what you find in the community facility. In a community facility, closer to 80% would be admitted from a hospital. We were established in 1994. We have 85 skilled beds. Of those 85 beds, 16 beds are in a special domestic care unit. We serve veterans, and we also serve the spouses of veterans. We have a 98% occupancy rate. We have an active waiting list of 56. We have an inactive waiting list in excess of 200.
And can you explain the difference between the active and the inactive for the committee?
The active waiting list are those people that are able and willing and waiting to come in right now. The inactive list, they've been placed themselves on the list. They may have turned down admission twice and just said, I want to be whole. I want to be in a holding pattern until I'm ready to come in. Then at some point when they're ready to come in, they will express their interest in being placed on the waiting list, after the waiting list.
Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you give us a little bit of history on those numbers? Is that a fairly stable number, or is that down from the past, up in the past, do you know, or maybe Pam knows too?
Chairman, Representative Magnus, that number is actually down just a little bit from the past.
Yeah.
Historically, we were hovering right at about 80.
That's what I thought.
Representative Welch,
thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the testifier, I'm just wondering, I know in the past I've talked to my nursing home administrators in my area, and they said in the past people used to come to nursing homes, husband was admitted, so then the wife would come along. Some of the nursing home residents really didn't need care from the people that were there, but it was a home. And I was just looking at your numbers here and noticing that you had 50% that were admitted directly from their home or apartment, whereas you said in a typical community-based nursing home, that 80% are admitted from the hospital, which I can see that because now the trend is more towards you end up in the nursing home when you absolutely need to be there after you've been in the emergency room or you need that intensive care. And that's kind of just a mindset that I see among, you know, residents that I represent. And so I'm just wondering, do we have veterans that are coming to the nursing home that are not requiring a great deal of care initially but are coming because of their age, because of camaraderie, because of other reasons. Just wondering, do you have any sort of stipulations as far as admittance into the nursing home?
Shabon, Chairman, Representative. According to our rules, you have to require skilled care to come into the facility. The average case mix of our residents is a G, which means that they require a substantial amount of care. Coming in from home, they've most likely been taken care of by a spouse, and they have some type of dementia and are no longer able to be maintained at home. So they do all require a substantial nursing home level of care.
Okay, proceed.
Okay, as I said, our active waiting list is 56. From the date of application to the date of admission, it's 4 to 6 months in our facility. We have a social model of care called the Eden Philosophy. With the Eden Philosophy, the key lies in the development of relationships in the nursing home. Our residents have the opportunity for choice. Residents and staff work closely together to create a home where residents want to live and staff want to work. And that truly is the case in our facility. When I came on board in Laverne and walked around during the day shift and introduced myself, the vast majority of staff that worked that day shift have worked there 14 to 16 years, with a pretty substantial number being there since they opened up. And that's reflected also in our evening shift and to a lesser degree in our night shift.
I should point out, you should point out, these are all state employees, right, at our homes?
That is correct. Our ultimate goal is to provide person-centered care. At the Minnesota Veterans Home in Laverne, our veterans, our co-workers, and you come first. That's our acronym. F stands for fairness, treating the residents and each other in a just, unbiased, and equitable manner. I is for integrity, maintaining our professionalism and values through confidentiality and maturity in word and deed. R, responsibility, being answerable for our own behavior and performing our job to the best of our ability. S, sincerity, being honest about ourselves with others. T, teamwork, working together in a supportive manner to achieve the common goal of great person-centered care. For our actual financial budget presentation, I'm going to defer to Ann, who will take it from here.
Very good.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, our revenue sources are consistent with what was presented earlier. We have several parts to that. The first part is the carry forward from previous years, which for fiscal year 9 was $83,000. We also have our general fund allocation for fiscal year 9, which was just over $4.5 million. Resident private pay is $1.858 million for fiscal year 9, and federal VA per diem is $1.895 million for fiscal year 9. You can see by the pie chart, the general fund allocation is just over half, or 54%, of our annual budget, with VA per diem being 23% and private pay close behind with 22%. That flows right into our operating budget, which equates to $8.339 million for fiscal year 9. 82.5% of that is payroll, which is $6.885 million. The non-payroll expenses, or just over 17% of our budget, is $1.454 million of the total. The largest part, or the payroll budget of $6.885 million, is broken down into the following object codes, or actually what is more commonly known as the types of our payroll expenses. Our full-time staff is at just about 14%, or $963,000. Part-time staff, which is obviously the greatest majority, is at 81.3% at $5.6 million. Overtime of 1.24%, $86,000. Premium pay, which is shift differential and officer of the day or OD pay, of 0.89%, and other benefits of 2.55%, or $175,000 budgeted for fiscal year 9. Six, payroll costs. Just wanted to bring this to light because...
Excuse me, Representative Faust, please.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Faust.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question, part-time staff, 81.3%, that seems very high. Is that normal for nursing homes? That like I said, that seems very high. Why would this be so much different than other businesses or nursing homes?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Faust, our part-time FTE consists of that percentage because we have such a great deal. We're a 24/7 operation, and so you'll see in a couple of slides down the road here, our CNAs, or what we call a human service technician, HSTs, are staffed at various levels to complement that 24/7 operation. So many of the full-time positions are actually managerial or administrative positions, and the 24/7 positions are staffed by various FTEs, which are not a 1.0 or an 80-hour per pay period position. They are part-time positions combined to provide that service, so that covers the staffing. And on to fixed payroll costs. A portion of the payroll costs associated with those with utilized FTE is required fringe benefits, and that's dictated to us by union negotiations and by federal labor laws. Those fringe benefits account for approximately 28.66% of our totally utilized FTE or payroll costs. You can see again by the pie chart, our salary is 72%. But we have a great deal of that in insurance, and again, that's one of those union negotiated benefits. The federal mandated in labor laws of FICA of 5%, and then retirement, which is also a union negotiated benefit of 3%, make up our payroll costs.
Are your employees on the state insurance plan like we are?
Mr. Chairman, yes, they are.
Okay.
Payroll full-time equivalent data, the Laverne home has 113.38 FTE or full-time equivalent. Just for some background, an FTE is equal to 80 hours of compensation during a two-week payroll cycle. One or more individuals can comprise a 1.0 FTE complement. For instance, if two individuals can be a part-time compensated for 40 hours each pay period, thus they total 1.0 FTE, or 80 hours per pay period. A utilized FTE is a total of all productive and non-productive hours paid during that pay period.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just to back up a second, on your revenue slide, since your actual income amounts to less than half of your operating budget, your private pay and your VA per diem, how are those reimbursement rates set?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I might need a little clarification on that, but as far as cost of care, is what an individual pays for their cost of care at the home? Is that what you're asking?
Well, I'm a little bit surprised that the private pay is $1.8 million and the federal VA care is $1.89, and that again, that's about less than half of your operating budget. So my first thought is, well, those rates are low, but so how are those rates set? Is there a percentage of your actual budget that those rates are supposed to cover?
Chairman, Representative, maybe I can help with that. The federal per diem is set by the federal government based on resident days. The veterans that live with us are allowed to participate in the cost of their care based on their income. And that is set within our rules. And through our rulemaking, that's just what we're shot to be. That actually varies up and varies down a little bit. Based on the number of people that we come have that are full cost of care, which means they pay for it all, or those that come in that are indigent, and we pay for the full cost as a state.
All right.
Back to the Laverne utilized FTE. The direct care is 69.62%, or 78.94 full-time equivalent. And indirect care is 34.44 full-time equivalents, or 30.38% of our staffing. Just to break down that full-time equivalent a little bit more for you, we have direct care full-time equivalent detail. The greatest majority, again, is the HSTs, or what other homes would classify as certified nursing assistants, and that's at 45.02 FTE. Then continuing down, RNs are at 10.10, LPNs at 4.9, resident assistants at 1.63, pharmacy at 0.80, physical therapy at 4.01, medical administration, which consists of our DON, assistant DON, nursing scheduler, ward secretaries, and health information specialists at 6.65, social services of a 2.0, and recreation therapy of 3.83, all comprised of direct care detail. Indirect detail of FTE are administration of 2.0, financial management of 3.8, human resources and education each of 0.8, public relations of a 1.0, dietary 13.42, and housekeeping of 7.83, maintenance 3.14, transportation of the residents 0.65, and our log on laundry services is a 1.0 FTE. Other payroll benefits are the $175,000 that I referred to earlier in that part of the budget. Consists of workers' compensation costs, separation expense, unemployment compensation costs, or family medical leave allowance insurance payments that happens throughout the fiscal year. Our non-payroll budget for 09 is $1.454 million, and the major type of expenses within that area are several, as you can see them flow in. But the largest two, utilities, is 8.83%, and we also have supplies of 46.62%. The others are noted there. The larger of those you can see are professional contracts, 9.75%, and our laundry services, which are contracted out at 7.2%. The supply detail, which is the 46.62% of that budget, that's a non-salary budget line, is approximately $678,000 for fiscal year 9, and that consists of the following types and amounts for normal working supplies within the Laverne home. The pharmaceuticals is the largest of that, and that is $220,000 or 32.5% of that supply budget. Food and food-related supplies is $186,000. Nursing, direct care supplies, $123,000. Maintenance supplies, $64,000. Administrative supplies, $29,000. Housekeeping supplies, $26,000. Heating fuel, $21,000. And transportation fuel of $9,000. The last slide here just summarizes the R&B or repair and betterment funds for the Laverne homes for the 08 and the 09 biennium. We are allocated $306,000 for Laverne. In 08, we actually expended $26,000 for the implementation and the finishing of our special care unit fixtures and furniture. And in 09, we expended $150,000, which was for a nursing call system upgrade and replacement project. And we're actually still in process with that project, so we have an encumbrance existing of $28,000 for that, which will complete that project within the home. The 09 remainder then that we are working on and getting some information so we can start bidding those items is to replace some deteriorating resident room furniture that we have not replaced since the beginning of our facility in 1994 and fire alarm panel upgrade that needs to be done due to obsolescence within the system.
So primarily what we're seeing with repair and betterment is non-real estate or fixture items that maybe isn't bondable, and that's why we pay cash for it.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that's the
okay. Any questions for Laverne? Otherwise, we want to get the two other outstate ones up before we have to sync up. We appreciate you coming, and to the department, I appreciate the way these, I know we had members last time a little confused, but for those folks, I think this is a much better layout to get the presentation and the spreadsheets hooked on the back of every one of these presentations. So members, what you probably want to do is tuck these into your book for future reference, too, if you need them. Silver Bay. Who won the prize for the longest drive, Silver Bay or Laverne?
Laverne.
Laverne wins. All right. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, good morning, and thank you for inviting us today. And for the record, my name is Carol Gilbertson. I'm the administrator of Silver Bay, and I also have Leandra Morris with me, and she's the business office manager. As included in your handouts, the Department of Veterans Affairs and the five homes sat together this past year and developed our mission and vision, and the five homes decided to adopt the same mission and vision as the Department of Veteran Affairs when we got together as a group. So our mission is dedicated to serving Minnesota veterans and their families, and our vision is fulfilling the needs of Minnesota veterans and their families by provide improvement and innovative programs and services to maximize quality of life. And our core values are, I also include, and I'm sure you can read those, but that's under the name of Veterans, which is very fitting. Our home was established in 1991. We currently have 87 skilled beds, and we have a special care unit of 25 beds for cognitive loss or dementia. We have an active waiting list of 17, and it takes about 2.5 months to get into our facility from the time you've applied on the waiting list. We have an inactive waiting list of about 200 plus, and that's for expression people that have expressed future interest for being admitted. And also, we serve primarily the population of northeastern Minnesota, and that contains about 17% of Minnesota's veterans. The characteristics of the Silver Bay veteran: the average age is 78, they're primarily male, they're World War II veterans, and the top three diagnoses for our veterans are Alzheimer's disease, dementia with behavioral disturbances, organic brain syndrome, which is also a type of cognitive loss. The average acuity level in our facility is a D, same as what Laverne is, and that a D typically has high dependency need, which is 7 to 8 ADL losses, and I'll talk about that underneath in just a second, and that and also a need for assistance with eating. The dependencies mean they need assistance with walking, transferring, bathing, toileting, bed mobility, eating, grooming, dressing, and or have behaviors. And so ours typically have 7 to 8 of those ADL losses. Also, I wanted to bring up that we, in our strategic plan, identified one of our goals is to get to person-centered care in all of our facilities. And so Silver Bay is currently working on a resident-centered care model. And we're working on creating little households within our facility of groups of about 20 to 23 residents so we can get more like home. And we are also looking at developing another special care unit because we have a lot of veterans with cognitive loss, and so we have a big need for increasing some special care for those folks. And we are looking at increasing flexibility so the veterans can sleep in the morning and we can serve breakfast more open dining. So it would be more about that person rather than having them modeled into our institutional environment. I've included some job descriptions or many little groupings of what everybody does. And the FTE was explained to you last time, so just to refresh your memory, that's somebody that works 80 hours in a 2-week pay period. I wanted to call your special attention to the dietary department because we do a Meals on Wheels program in Silver Bay. And as you know, we're fairly remote. And we serve about 360 meals per month to the community, and we're exploring increasing that. And we receive funds for that from the AEOA program. And then breakdown of our full-time equivalents. In direct care, we have nurses aides. We have about 45.58 FTEs, RNs 12.0, LPNs 12.4, FTEs, medical records 1.8, social services 1.8, and therapeutic recreation or activities 5.0, for a total of 78.58 in direct care. Under indirect care in administration, it would be myself, the administrator, and the director of nurses at 2.0, business office 4.0, human resources 2.0, and volunteer coordinator 1.0, housekeeping laundry 8.6, transportation maintenance 4.4, and dietary 12.42, for a total of 34.42. I also wanted to bring up that we also have an in-house education program. We have an educator that previously worked with the colleges, and we train nurses aides at our facility. And we are also working on partnering with the schools to get an occupational program going to help better the community up in Silver Bay. And now I'd like to present Leandra Morris, our business office manager.
Very good.
Mr. Chair and committee members, again, my name is Leandra Morris, business manager in Silver Bay. Our fiscal year 09 operating budget is $8.4 million. Of that, our payroll is approximately $6.8 million, or 81% of our budget. Our non-payroll expenses are $1.6 million, or 19%. Of that payroll budget of approximately 6.8%, the breakdown is full-time staff at $2.9 million, part-time staff at $3.3 million, overtime pay of $279,000, premium pay of $63,000, and other benefits of $200,000. Our non-payroll budget for the fiscal year 09 is $1.6 million. Of those, utilities, approximately 12%, or $188,000. That, because our building is so well built, our utilities are reasonable. And we've just improved our furnaces as well and have seen an improvement there already in the last couple months.
Well, you must have upgraded your building. For members who don't know, that it was an old school building originally.
It was a school building. Yep, but it was built very soundly. We do have a new roof that was put on a number of years ago, which I do believe did improve things.
I did notice your costs are less than our newer building down in Laverne. Representative Fowler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question was on professional services. I see that your budget for next year and the following year is $210,000. Can you please tell me what professional services includes? Is that like doctors coming in, or what is that exactly?
Mr. Chair, Representative Faust, I can definitely tell you some of the services. You can see that professional contracts, those are up and down in different years, and they're directly driven by our census. If our census is down, those services aren't used as much. Because they do cover dental, we have an in-house or physician that comes in-house. We have psychiatrists that comes in, and we have pharmacists that comes in. We used to have a storage container that we rented that was part of that contract in 07. In 08, under R&B, we did build a storage building of our own, so we no longer have that contract need. For 09, we did include a dietary consultant as part of our strategic plan to bring forth the quality of life culture that we're working on in Silver Bay. She's helping us to get into the household model that is going to happen in Silver Bay to focus more on the residents.
Thank you. We're going to keep you moving. I want to make sure we get Fergus Falls up here, and I'm going to ask Laverne and Hastings to come back. Or Minneapolis. Minneapolis and Hastings. Not Laverne. Laverne, you can go home.
Oh. Okay. And I will touch on one more item. If there are no other questions regarding these percentages, the supplies, the next slide does break down our supplies. In those supplies are our pharmaceuticals and our food and food-related items, nursing direct care supplies, household supplies, and our transportation fuel. And in our transportation fuel, of course, we do transport our residents to Duluth, which is about 60 miles away, for doctor appointments and things like that. That's a service we can provide for our residents. And our revenue resources are very similar to the others. Our general fund is 53%. Our per diem is estimated to be 22%. And our federal VA, I'm sorry, that's our private pay. And our private pay is 25%. Estimated to be 25%. Our repair and betterment and asset preservation betterment and asset preservation funds are used to maintain our integrity, meet regulatory standards, and promote quality of life. And for the 08-09 biennium, our R&B was $465,000. In that, in 08, we did purchase a nurse call system that you can see, and it's also in 09 because it's a two-year process to get that installed and running. We did build a storage building. And because that was a new building, it was R&B instead of asset preservation. We had quite a few repairs to our air conditioning unit. In 08, we had some expenses there. So in 09, we improved that as well. So we weren't nickeling and diming to repair that. Our asset preservation for the 08-09 biennium is a total of $824,000. And you can see that we're working on a rear parking lot, which is where our building, our storage building went. That was included to get that in there. We're going to replace our generator in 09. And we did some flooring to some resident rooms in 08, which caused our census to go down a bit, which is why our professional services were down in 08. And we have improved our boiler, which is the boiler project there.
All right. Very good. Seeing no questions, I thank you for coming. Didn't sound like you had a Norwegian accent either.
I'm from the southern part of Minnesota.
Oh, I see. Yeah, me too. Well, yeah. Do you ever see Representative Dill? Does he ever show up at your place? You don't have to answer that. All right, we're going to bring Fergus Falls up and... Next week we'll start with Hastings and Minneapolis as we move into the others, and I apologize for not getting to you folks, but this has been very informative and interesting, and we want to take as much time as we need on these homes since it's a new area for this committee. So welcome to the committee, and proceed.
Mr. Chairman, I'm John Skillingstead, the administrator of the Veterans Home in Fergus Falls, and I have with me Jeff Melby, and I'd like to proceed with our presentation. We're going to briefly go over overview of the Veterans Home, program philosophy, tour of the Veterans Home, future projects, and then our financial presentation. In the 85-bed skilled facility, we opened in March 30th of 1998 when we took our first resident. We currently have 90 residents on our active waiting list and 298 on our inactive, and what that means for the people that come into our facility is there's a 6 to 24-month wait to enter our facility. We work off the acronym CARE at our facility when we first opened, creatively delivering focused care, acknowledging military heritage, reconnecting residents with the community, enhancing life experiences, and some of the pictures below with our pontoon boat and other pictures show some of the outings that we take our residents on. We talk about adding life years in our facility instead of traditionally what happens when you get older is adding years to life. And here's a few of those representations there with residents doing gardening, residents on Veterans on the Lake, residents in our four-wheeler bike, and residents deer hunting at Camp Ripley. The way that we creatively deliver focused care is through our primary focused nursing, which is an award-winning care system which was developed by myself and my former director of nurses at another facility, and which we brought to our facility. It's a way of assuring that residents are cared for directly and that the staff person knows their responsibilities, and it's a reporting system back to the nurses so that it creates a consistency. We also, instead of just having nursing assistants at our facility, have what's referred to as nursing universal workers. So our workers not only deliver direct care services, but as you can see by the pictures, they're involved with cleaning the resident room, and they're also involved with PCOT issues for them and laundry for the residents. And we think that this provides a good program of services for them that allows one person to do multiple things and have more contact with the resident, which means that you understand them and their needs more deeply and avoid the conflicts that happen between departments. We acknowledge military heritage in various and sundry ways, clearly by Memorial Day and Veterans Day and 4th of July remembrances and celebrations. Here you can see our a wall of honor where we honor our veterans for their past service by pictures from their time, and the lower left is our, some of our Korean War veterans receiving some awards. We also have creative approaches on ergonomic care at our facility. We opened a pilot project for the state of Minnesota installing the first 8-track full room access ceiling lift. We know that resident patient movement is a direction of the legislature. This is something that we about at the same time decided that was important for our facility. And we've seen as a result of the project, which was hard fought with the health department, they were very hesitant to let us do it because we had to cut down the bathroom wall partially, and you'll see that in the slide here. But it increases their mobility, allows them greater dignity, increases their safety, and reduces the cost of the facility. You can see here at the top left the lifting system above the bed. And if you look at the other direction, it covers the whole room, so it goes over our wardrobe cabinet. And in the bottom slide here, you see that it also goes right into the bathroom, so you can move the resident from the bed to the bathroom without stopping, without other transfers or anything else. It's a very good system, and it has reduced our costs, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Now, acknowledging military heritage, there's various and sundry ways to do that. This is the big little parade that we have every year where we have residents on their scooters and people carrying flags and Shriners on their scooters and tanks and several other things on our little plot of land there, but it's quite a big production and quite an interesting time. This shows a few of the other activities, from all the music activities to veterans on the lake to bowling to we have an ice fishing house also that we take our residents on, and we take our residents out about 260 times a year. Reconnecting residents with the community is a very important element, and as you see in this slide here, this is what's called our quarterback club. Our Fergus Falls football team comes every year, develops relationships with our residents. Our residents go out and watch their games. It's a very good interaction between the two. This is a picture of our Old Town Main Street, which is connecting the outside inside. Some of our residents can't get out, and so we bring the outside inside. And so we bring what's familiar to them, that is, on the main street there is a general store where they shop, and that's where they get their supplies. The supplies are free. There is a library. There is a family inn where they have their care conferences and where family members can serve a meal for them. And there's the barber shop and also our CBOC clinic, and we'll talk about that in a minute. We also have other therapies, pet therapies and such. For instance, with Walker, our dog, and they just a little bit of activity on Casino Week. We have shadow boxes, which are outside each room, which identify the residents and their history. That's given to the families if they pass, or the residents otherwise. Here's the motorcycle club that visits our facility on an annual basis. This is the community-based outpatient clinic. It's a VA federal clinic that's within our building. We operate with them through a shared use agreement, which means that we don't charge them anything to be on our building, and as a result, we trade for services from them. We get speech or occupational therapy, respiratory therapy, physical exams. So all of these things can happen within our building for a number of the visits instead of going outside. And they were the first in the nation, and us vis-a-vis their presence, first in the nation to have a VA nursing home nursing practitioner-based clinic in the nation. The Veterans Home figures out ways to honor veterans. This is Major General Gunn, who's Chief of Chaplains for the Army, former Chief of Chaplains, and this was part of our celebration for our World War II veterans, which was part of the dedication for the memorial down here. We took some down here, and we celebrated up at our facility also. We also have some future projects coming up, which has moved forward, our special care edition. Here's a picture of it on the left-hand side. You'll see our facility as it exists, and you see to the right where this little circle goes over the proposed addition. Here's another slide with the addition at the top of the white area there, and the CBOC clinic and expansion, plus a new garage at the bottom. And this is a project that I'll show you a couple more details on. Here's sort of a layout in this picture. You can see this is a dining room area. This is the CBOC clinic area. And over here is the special care unit proper, divided into two parts. there are various reasons that we've done this project or are proposing this project, and that the waiting list is a large one of them. It's come before the legislature last year, and the funding sources have been provided for the state. It's a $9.97 million project, and the state's provided its portion, and we're awaiting the federal portion, and we're on their list for that. Here's some inside pictures. So this kind of carries our Main Street concept and brings it indoors. And so what it will be like is we refer to this, at least right now, as Veterans Village. And so the residents' rooms will actually look like houses. And so for our residents that have dementia, they will say, okay, I'm in the blue house, I'm in the one with the brick, I'm in the one by the lamp post, and it creates a real good atmosphere for our residents. And now for the financial presentation, I'm going to turn that over to Jeff Melby.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Point of order, would it be better for me to highlight things?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, we'll try
and... We're not right now, but we're going to give you a chance to go through it quickly here.
Okay, we will expeditiously go through this then. We are similar to the other two homes that preceded us with 85 beds. Our revenues are the same. Maintenance income, $1,920,000. VA per diem, $1,869,000. State funding, $4,509,000, for a total revenue of $8,299,385. Which corresponds to our operating budget and salary of $6,895,225, or 83% of our budget, and non-salary of $1,404,160, for 17% of the budget. The breakdown of salary, full-time $1,006,000, part-time $4,844,000, overtime $286,000, premium pay $73,696, other benefits $89,636, for a total of $895,225. Then, just for explanation, other salary benefits breaks down workers' compensation $75,000, uniform allowance $92,36, separation allowance $4,500, unemployment compensation $500, and FMLA insurance payments of $400. Our budgeted FTEs are similar also in 112.87 direct care. The largest component, HSTs, represent 46.73, FTEs, RNs, 10.96, LPNs, 7.21, nursing administration, medical records, 4.53, recreation therapy, 3.6, social services, 2.12, physical therapy, 0.46, occupational therapy, 0.55, for a total of 76.16. Indirect care, dietary, 15.74, housekeeping, 7.08, maintenance, 306, financial management, 4.33, administration, 2.0, student services, 1.5, volunteer service coordinator, 1.0, driver, 1.0, and education, infection control, 36.71. The non-salary breakdown then, supplies being the largest component, $745,860, utilities, $281,883, laundry, insurance, etc., $101,159. Professional technical services, $72,671. Equipment, $62,800. Agency and state indirect costs, $32,954. Phone, mail, and freight, $29,807. Repairs, $26,264. Computer services, $21,400. Travel, $21,361. Employee development, $42,65. Printing and advertising, $37,36, for a total of $1,404,160. Then similarly, the supply breakdown of $745,860 is as follows. Food and dietary supplies, $221,400. Pharmaceuticals and related supplies, $213,300. Nursing direct care supplies, $157,020. Maintenance supplies, $51,790. Housekeeping supplies, $28,955. Office supplies, $18,760. Fuel, oil, diesel, and gas, $18,523. Laundry supplies, $13,835. All other supplies, which are simply a combination of small amounts from different departments, $10,402. Safety supplies, $6,650. And computer supplies, $6,225. Then finishing out our R&D projects for 2009 total $188,383. and they are as follows: carpet and vinyl flooring replacement, laminate door replacement for rooms, repair and replacement of cabinets and doors, replacement of our entry door and door kick plates, and waterline work. And I realize we're a couple minutes over, but...
No, it's been very good, and we're going to keep this, and obviously we've got your name. If we have questions as we move forward, we'll give you a call and ask you about it. We appreciate you coming down, and for members that haven't been to Fergus, you should get up there or stop in sometime. I'm sure they'll show you around. It's a very unique facility. It's our newest facility, and it's really a model, I think, that we're looking at for future homes. It's really a neat place, and I appreciated going through there with the bonding committee, and we were there, I think, with the Ag Committee a couple of years ago, Ag and Veterans Committee. Those that were on the committee a couple of years ago, Representative Tremba and I were there. So we appreciate you coming. Thank you. Representative Tremba moves the minutes from our last meeting, February 18th. Anyone, any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, minutes are adopted. Next week we'll start with Hastings and Minneapolis and move on from there. So thank you, members. Thank you, audience. We're adjourned.